they're looking at. So what do we, what are we thinking? And one of the letters in the word Sevar is called a Semketh. And this picture of it is like a stick like this with two cross beams. So see, it's like this, and then it has two sticks across. And that would be the kind of thing that you would put a plant on to support a plant. Like, you know, we grow tomatoes, they have to have something to grow onto. So you put a cage around it or a support. And that's what hope is too. It's a support for the family. It's the thing that we can lean on, the thing we can rely on, the thing that can be what we go to for support. Excuse me, you. Please forgive if I'm coughing a little bit. Hope expectantly considers that the promise of God will come to pass in his timing and with his insight. So now turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. I want to say that again so we can really let it kind of sink in. I said it. Hope means to look expectantly. And it's there's another really great verse about in the Psalms where David was talking about how he set the Lord always before his face. He set the promise of the Messiah before his face all the time. So if he looked over here, that's what he saw. If he looked over here, that's what he saw. If he looked over here, that's what he saw. That's the same idea of wrapping the turban around your head. What are you looking at? What are you thinking about? Hope expectantly considers that the promises of God will come to pass. They will come to pass in his timing and with his power. So he's the one who's got the whole thing together about hope. Hebrews 3 and verse 6. Now Christ, as the Son, is over his house, and we are his house, if we hold fast the boldness and the boasting of his hope to the end. Hope is also something that we have to hold fast to. You can't just think about it for 5 minutes or even like for this hour. We're talking about the hope, we're thinking about the hope, and that's all grand. But what happens when we go home? Are we going to start thinking about our problems again? It's something that you have to really hold fast to. So I want to show you a couple of pictures because we're going to really spend most of the time in Hebrews 6. So you can turn over there. But I found some really wonderful pictures of anchors and what the old anchors looked like. So originally, you had a ship, and they just had a stone that they tied a rope to, and it didn't even have any holes in it. But it would hold the boat pretty good, you know, but not a really very large boat. So then they developed the idea that you should put a hole in this stone so that the rope would really stay. Have you ever tried to wrap a rope around stone? It kind of starts falling off, right? That's what happened originally. See, second millennium BC, they started making holes in the stones and using them for anchors. And then eventually this three-holed stone was prominent. Then eventually the next thing that happened in the next slide is that they started putting stones in together with wood so they would hold the stones, and you could add multiple stones. See how that stacked up there? That would allow you to have an anchor for a much larger boat. See? Okay, then the next one, as the designs went on, they added a piece of metal that was very heavy, and it had a hole in the middle of it. And this angle forced the anchor to go down because it was heavy, right? Sometimes it was made out of stone, but then eventually it was made out of iron or some really heavy metal like that. And the weight of it would send the anchor to the bottom. Then what happened was they added arms onto the end of, here's the iron piece. And they put the wood through it and then added what they called flukes to, yeah, I know. So then they also added little iron tips to the edge of it. Now what that did was this forked thing would allow the anchor to really dig down deep into the seafloor. It would stick down in there and be very difficult then for the ship to move, even if there was a big storm. And if you had multiple anchors, you know, they put anchors on both sides. The ship that Paul was on when he got shipwrecked had four sets of anchors like this. And anyway, those metal tips, I think, were really interesting to see how an anchor works like that. Then the next picture is just a bigger one so you could see. And then the found a really, really beautiful one that was darker wood. It's the next one. Isn't that a cool picture? I actually went to college at a college called Hope College, and that's their motto, is that Hebrews 6:19. And they have a big, huge metal anchor that's right in the front of the school. But I think it's so interesting to see this edge on it, okay? So that's what we have to keep in mind when I want to go back and just read the whole context of Hebrews 6. Because there are some wonderful things in here. We're going to go to start in chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "For God is not wicked, that he forgets your works and your love that you have shown in his name. For you have ministered and do minister to the holy ones. But we want each one of you to show this diligence to the completion of your hope up until the end." The King James says, the full assurance of hope unto the end, right? So we're talking about hope being something you think about, something you expect, but it's something we have to hold fast to. And what that does when we hold fast to it is it gives us this full assurance that what God said is absolutely going to come to pass. If he said he's sending his son, Jesus Christ, back and he's coming again, then you know what? He is coming again. And we can have a full assurance of that till our dying breath. Go on and read verse 12. And so that's the reason why you should not be discouraged, but to be imitators of those who by faith and long suffering have become heirs of the promise. This long suffering is now going to be explained as an example, using Abraham as an example. Verse 13. When God promised Abraham, because he had no one who was greater than himself by whom he could swear, he swore by himself and he said, "I will certainly bless you and I will greatly multiply you." So God made a promise to Abraham. In fact, he made a threefold promise to Abraham. This part says that the first thing is that he said he would be the father of many nations, that he would greatly multiply his seed. And he told him that when he had no child. he had no son. He didn't even have a daughter. he didn't have any children at all. And God told him that he was going to be the father of many nations. And then he told him that from his seed, there would come the Messiah. That was the second part of the promise. And then the third part of the promise was that God gave Abraham a portion of land that's by the Mediterranean Sea that would belong to him and to his children forever. Verse 15, it says, then Abraham waited patiently and he received what God had promised. Now, he didn't receive the whole thing about the land, or he didn't even see the fact that his children were going to have many nations, but he received the son, his son. And that was enough to convince him that every other part of the promise was going to come to pass. So that's the same thing with us. We've received this seed of Holy Spirit within us. We can speak in tongues. We know that God is our Father. That's the confirmation that you have every single day to know that all the rest of it is going to come to pass too. We're going to get new bodies. We're going to be with the Lord forever. He's going to send his son back. He's going to establish Israel in the land. We're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. I mean, it goes on and on. We haven't seen that yet, though, have we? Okay, well, but because we speak in tongues, we can have a full assurance that that absolutely will come to pass. In verse 15 there, it says he was long-suffering. Abraham was long-suffering. Long-suffering is a funny word. It's just not one that we normally use. Oh, Vicky, you're long-suffering. I mean, we don't say it like that. But we do say things, or we have other idioms that we use, like, hang in there, you know, hold on tight, keep on keeping on, you know, any number of things that you can say that are sort of more slang for us. The King James word is long-suffering. But it basically just means long of spirit, where you take your heart and you just go, I'm going to stay here, and 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 I'm not going to let anything budge me off of it. And now you can start to see how hope is an anchor. Because when a ship was in the port and it put down the anchor, it went into the bedrock, down towards the bedrock through the sand, and lodged there and said, this ship is going nowhere except right here. Isn't that a cool picture then? Okay, let's go on and read a little bit more. Verse 16. For men swear by that which is greater than them, and concerning every controversy that happens among them, the certain end of it is by oaths. So in our culture, what happens is, we don't use oaths as much as we have contracts. But, you know, when you sign your name on the bottom of a contract, that's like you swore this, that you would do whatever it was that you had set up, right? But God said that he made an oath. And when men swear by that which is greater than them, then the certain end of it comes to pass. So let's just say I'm going to buy a house, right? And Glenn and I sign the contract for the house. It's only, that contract is only as good as how much we back it up with our finances, our money, our diligence to pay the mortgage, all those things, right? Well, God signed this oath about the hope with everything that he was. Now, me, you know, I could probably fail on a mortgage if I, not that I would, but if I did, I have the potential to, right? So that contract is only as good as the person who signed it. See? All right. Well, God signed this contract. And so verse 17 goes on and goes, because of this, God especially wanted to show to the heirs of the promise that his promise would not change, So he bound it with an oath. He bound it with oaths. That by two things that are unchangeable, in which God is not able to lie, we who have sought refuge in him may have great comfort and may hold fast to the hope that was promised to us. Okay, God is greater than anybody, right? So he swore, he bound himself with an oath to Abraham, and he said, I will make you a father of many nations. I will send the Messiah, and he will come from your seed. I will give you the land. He bound it with an oath, and then he backed it up with everything that he is. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. So that's why it can be completely reliable. And we can trust in it. We can rely upon it. And we can seek refuge in that. And we can also hold fast to it. That's why verse 19 goes on to say, which we have, this hope, we have as an anchor to our soul, so that it is not shaken. Let's just stop there for a minute. What does the King James say there?
Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil.
Okay, so both sure and steadfast. We have a hope that's an anchor, both sure and steadfast. So it's not a flimsy little stone that's about this big. It's one of those huge anchors that was for the ship so it wouldn't move, like a huge warship. Or I didn't look up, but, you know, ships like the Navy ships or the Queen Mary or any really large vessel, if you look at their anchors, they are huge, right? Okay. So the purpose of the anchor is so that the boat will not move, so it won't be shaken. And that word in Aramaic is a really interesting word because it means, you get the same idea as an earthquake. I remember the first time after I moved to California, my kids were pretty young, and we were living in Irvine, and there was a pretty big earthquake that happened, and we had this giant chandelier that was in the staircase going down, and it was very early in the morning, and the whole house started shaking, and the kids were like up out of bed, and they were like, Mommy, what's going on? And we're like, okay, we got to go downstairs, and all we could see was that chandelier going, like, 1, 2, 3, here we go, down the stairs. So we were like going underneath that chandelier, moving back and forth. It was scary, you know, and I had never experienced an earthquake before. But that's the whole idea, is that when storms come in our lives, the things that we're dealing with, worries, fears, sickness, no matter what it is, it does that. It like makes your life want to go zoom, 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 you know. Let's see how that's one of the biggest tools of the enemy, right? Is to get us so worried and so caught up in what the problem is that we're just shaking in our boots, shaken. So what an anchor with hope as an anchor does is it holds our soul, our life, our inside, the things that we're dealing with, our life. It holds it so that it is not shaken. And now we have this beautiful part here about how it enters within the veil. The anchor holds within the veil, right, in the song. For a long time, I had no idea what that meant. I mean, I knew the veil had something to do with the temple, how the veil was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And when Jesus Christ died, it was ripped from top to bottom, right? So the entrance into the Holy of Holies was made clear. And was open, where it had never been open before. The Holy of Holies is where God dwelled. And only one time a year could the high priest go into the Holy of Holies. And even then, he had to bring in the blood with him. And he had to put a little bell on at the bottom of his robe in case he died in the middle of the Holy of Holies. They could pull him out. Really? But now the veil is rent. It's torn. It's open. So what it's saying here, and I want to read the New Living Translation, is really great with this verse. It says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. The hope of knowing that everything God said is going to come to pass, and that he is the Messiah. He is the one who has accomplished all of our redemption for us. It leads us into the sanctuary where he already has gone before us. That's within the veil. The hope is within the veil. It's inside the sanctuary. And that's where the solid rock is. That's where our anchor needs to go into the ground, is into our relationship with God and with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we don't have that, if we're not in the sanctuary, then we're trying to anchor ourselves on something else, which doesn't work. Our bank account, our pride, our accomplishments, our anything else is not enough to weather the storms. Isn't that beautiful, though? It's within the veil. And so that it swerves not. So our soul is totally anchored so that it swerves not. I want to play you a song by Toby Mac, because when recently my grandchildren and kids were here for a couple of weeks, and we had such a wonderful time. And Glenn, we were driving the Highlander around because it was the only thing big enough for all of us to get in. And Glenn has a CD. That's his favorite CD. It's a Toby Mac CD. And it just so happened that the kids absolutely love Toby Mac. So every time we got in the car, especially Maddie, was like, play Toby Mac, play Toby Mac. Can you please turn it up louder? So we were like blasting down the road with Toby Mac going over and over and over. So I learned all these songs. It was really, really fun. But this one is called Move, right? What's it called, Jeffrey? Move, yeah. All right, so let's play it.
Another heartbreak day. Feels like you're miles away. Don't even need no shade when your sun don't shine. Too many passing dreams roll by like limousines. It's hard to keep believing when they pass you by and by. It ain't over yet, it ain't over yet. So move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on. Move, keep walking, until the morning comes. Move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on. And lift your head, it ain't over yet, it ain't over yet. Echoing inside your head are the words that your sweet mama said. Shoot for the moon, my dear, so you took game out of this atmosphere. Between high stakes and pump face, like you can't vibrate.
I can hold your hand, but I can't turn your eyes to freedom.
I know your heart been
finished yet. Hold on, hold on, he'll get you through this. Hold on, hold on, these are the promises I never will forget. I never will forget. So hold on, hold on, the Lord ain't finished yet. Hold on, hold on, he'll get you through this. Hold on, hold on, these are the promises I never will forget. I never will forget. I know your heart been broke again. I know your prayers ain't been answered yet. But it ain't over yet.
No.
It ain't over yet. So get up and move.
Keep walking. So keep moving.
Walking. I love that line in there about I can hold your hand, but I can't turn your heart to freedom. That's the same thing about hope, is that I can teach you about hope. I can talk about hope. We can talk about hope over and over and over again. But you are the one who has to think it in your mind. And you are the one that has to hold on to it for freedom and to keep walking, because nobody else can do that for us. Keep moving, keep going, because it ain't over yet. It isn't. It's not over yet. So let's just look real quick at Galatians 3. I wanted to read this to you because I just want to reiterate about the idea that if God promises something, then it absolutely will come to pass. He guarantees it. In the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, that one verse says, His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. Christ is the solid rock. He is the fulfillment of the promise. So in Galatians 3, verse 14, it says, And the blessing of Abraham would be on the Gentiles by Jesus Christ, and that we would receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. So I told you, the Spirit is the guarantee. It's the proof that we are going to have everything else. My brothers, I speak as among men. Because a covenant of man that is established, no one sets aside or changes anything in it. Unless you change the contract, it's not going to get changed in a man's contract. But the promise was promised to Abraham and to his seed. And he did not say to him, to your seeds, plural, as to many, but to your seed as to one, who is the Messiah, or who is Christ. He was talking about to Abraham that the most important part of how he would be a father is that it would eventually be the seed of Christ, and that was the most important seed. That would be the fulfillment of the promise. In verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant which was previously established by God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, is not able to set it aside and make the promise void. Now, if the inheritance was by the law, then it was not by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And he gave it to us by promise, too, because we are the children of Abraham by faith. We have this promise also that not only do we have the fullness of what Christ is in us right now, but it's a guarantee of the complete inheritance. Romans 8 talks about how we are fellow heirs with Christ, everything that Christ is inherited, we get to have. We get to have his new body. We get to be with him forever. We get to reign in the millennial kingdom. It's a promise, and it's backed up by everything God is. That's how come it can be a hope and an anchor, we can literally say, my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That rock is Christ. He's the one. That's the only one. But we can hold fast to it. We can hold on to it. We can grip. We can have that be the firm foundation of our lives and hold the hope till the end. So there's one more verse I want to read. It's Colossians verse 1. There's lots and lots of verses about the hope. It was kind of hard to pick a few. But verse 23 of chapter 1 says, since this is so, since everything I've been talking about is so, continue in your faith, your foundation being firm. Dig those flukes into the ground and don't let your ship be shaken. Be not shaken from the hope of the gospel that you heard and that was preached in all creation that is under heaven, of which I, Paul, am a minister. We are a minister, all of us are ministers of the hope of this gospel. It's we can put it on our minds as a helmet and then turn, and wherever we look, we see Christ. Everywhere we look, we see Christ. I see Christ. I see Christ. And we know, and we can be assured and have the full assurance of hope until the end, that what God has promised, he is able to perform. So that's what I wanted to share today. Love you guys.